anybody's counting, I think we're about, what, four more sleeps till Christmas, I think, is where we're at about now, I guess. So I guess it is that time of year, and I hope you've had a good day. Had little Zeke on my heart today. Let's be in prayer for him and that family, and just Lord willing, he'll be able to come home soon and get through that. I know that's hard on anyone, but especially little ones. And so let's remember them in our prayers tonight also, and we'll have a time of prayer after the message tonight. But if you will, let's be turning back to Hebrews chapter number 2. And I really pray, sincerely pray that you're gaining from this. My goal always is, but my goal through this study is that each night, and even at the conclusion of the study, that we'll be closer to our Lord, know more about Him, feel closer to Him, and maybe a deeper understanding about some things. And Hebrews is really good at that. You think about what it's designed to do, the intent to do, I believe, is to, not only to us, but again, as we said in their introduction, is to reveal or to show to the Jewish people who Jesus really is. And the heart of the matter of that is for each and every one of us to accept Christ, for anybody to accept Him, you have to know who He is. You have to know what He done on the cross, why He done it, how to accept Him. Know and understand that He is the only one that you can accept for eternal salvation. He's the only way. But tonight, the title of this is We See Jesus. We See Jesus. And I really want us to get a glimpse of Him tonight. And I was asking Brandy, I said, have you ever seen Jesus? And she said, well, not physically, but I've seen Him in others. And I think that's a good way to describe that. I got a really close friend at work, and we were talking today, and it was definitely unexpected, but had some time to talk, and he was giving me his testimony, and I was sharing my testimony with him. And he was just telling me, he said, I just wish I could feel like I did the day I got saved all the time. He said, I wish I could feel like that every day. I wish that sometimes in certain songs, and he was talking about the old songs and liking the good gospel songs and what have you. He said, a lot of times I don't even listen to the music. He said, I just want to hear the words. When I can hear the words, that really speaks to my heart. And he said, it overflows. It overfills my heart. He said, I just wish I could feel that way all the time. And he said, but I don't guess these bodies could handle it. And I said, you're probably right. Talking about the spiritual world, Brother Dale, it's a different way. It's a different place. But in seeing this, and we see Jesus. And my question to you is, have you seen Him? And you'll say, the Bible says no man has seen God at any time. And that's the politically correct way to say it as far as what the Bible says. But I can tell you the day that I met Him. I can wholeheartedly tell you, and Brother Archie, that was a different day. My life has not been the same since then. It changed my life. And not that I'm anybody or anything like that or perfect, nothing like that at all, because I'm not. But He changed my life. And you have to be able to see Him. You have to understand who He is and what He did. That's how we see Christ through eyes of faith in this realm, in this time that we live in. You have to see Him. I think a lot of times people miss Him. And if we're not careful this time of year at Christmas, we'll definitely miss Him. We'll have our eyes on different things and maybe the commercial side of Christmas or what have you. But it's so important that we just slow down and see who He is and why He came to this earth. There's so much. I just want to go through, verses 5 through 10 tonight. I'll try not to be too long. I think, again, it's good to get to the heart of the matter and just kind of explain what it is. But I want us to see Jesus tonight. I want us to see His delivering purpose. I'll read and we'll get started tonight in verse number 5, Hebrews 2. It says, for unto the angels hath He not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Dad, I'll ask if you'll lead us to the Lord in prayer. And I appreciate that tonight. Had the opportunity this week to go to the eye doctor. I think it's fitting in what we're talking about tonight, just for a checkup. And I told him about my friend, Brother Terry, helping me out with these here. And they said from last time it had gotten just a little bit worse, or a little bit less than what it was. And they showed me, they said, this is what it was like without anything, and this is what it's like with it. And it wasn't that much difference. And I said, well, it's been a little better here later days, I guess, getting my medicine squared away and what have you. But there for a while, it was kind of touch and go, and I couldn't see so well. But if you've ever been to the eye doctor, what they'll do is you'll go in, and they'll put you in front of this little machine, if you want to call it a machine, or this little thing, we'll call it a thing. And you'll look through it, and they start flipping stuff around. They'll say, can you see better now? How about now? And you get right where you want it, and then they'll flip it back, and they'll say, how about now? I'm like, oh, God, it's about the same. I don't know. Do I have to choose? I mean, I don't want to get the wrong prescription. You know, you're asking me in the moment. I want to get this right. And then they'll flip it, and they'll say, how about this? And then they'll flip it this way and that way, and they'll get it kind of dialed in just right. But they kept flipping back and forth, and you want to get to where you can see clear. The beautiful thing about God's Word is it will allow us to do the same thing with Jesus if we'll look through it correctly. If we'll stay with it and we'll keep looking, we'll look what's before it, what's after it, and what we're looking at right in front of us, and it will explain who Jesus is. It's an amazing thing to think that in this day and time that anybody could miss who the Son of God is, but it happens every day. People argue it every day. There's different faiths, different religions, different things that people get their minds on, but tonight I really want us to focus on who Jesus is and what his purpose to us is. We see here in verse number 5, again, we're talking about the angels. We first started talking about the prophets at the beginning, and then we talked a lot about angels the last few weeks, even in our Christmas account and what we're seeing here, a lot about the angels and who they are. And the question is here, or the statement is here, it says, for unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. He's clearly saying it's not the angels, even though they are somewhat superior to mankind, man creation, what we would see, and I'll show you here in a minute what I'm saying, that they're not superior, or they're superior to us, but they are not the ones that the Lord has placed in subjection, this world into subjection to. And I find that is very interesting. If you go back to Genesis chapter number 1, verses 24 through 26, it tells us straight how this was set up. Genesis chapter number 1, verses 24 through 26. Verse Verse 24 begins, and it says here, and it says, "And God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth after his kind, and it was so. And God made the beast of the earth after his kind and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and God saw that it was good. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So we see here at the beginning that God gave man dominion over everything. That's a lot of responsibility. If you go back and you look in time and you see dominion, that means supreme authority. Man was at the top of the food chain for the earth. You go back and you think about Adam, how he named all the animals. To me, that's a miraculous thing in and of itself. There's a lot of species. There's a lot of animals. I was thinking about this, Brother Dale. We would think back in time that man was probably very primitive, but to me, I think Adam was probably pretty smart. You think about it. You know, we think we've evolved into something now, and I use that, or we've become smarter over the years or what have you, but I don't know that that's necessarily the case. I agree this is the information age, and you can share things very quickly and very fast, but I don't know how smart that we've become. I think the smartest people on earth are those who try to keep a close relationship with Christ. Those who are willing to study God's Word and stay in His Word and study and stay with Him. But we're seeing here that the way the Lord set up this earth is for mankind to have dominion over everything. Man, what a mess. What a decline since, Brother Dale. What a decline ever since. You can see it. You can just see how things have changed, and you look at how we're going to try to fix things. We look at politics. We look at our judicial system. We look at our legislature. We look at trying to set laws, and you know, it's a lot harder to do things in this day and time than what you would think. There's a lot of laws set in place that one person cannot change, that you just can't go in and say, I'm going to go in and change these things and make all these things different. This system, this world system, is set up so at this point in time that it's gone so far, it's very hard to change things. It's not as simple as it used to be. The godly principles that we've held to and that we believe in and we hold on to, a lot of those laws have changed. It's hard to really focus on who we're supposed to be the way the world is set up. But what we're talking about here is who the Lord is. And I just thinking about how mankind was supposed to be, is the supreme being, is supposed to be over this world. It's a very sad state that we see. How people have fallen from God and people don't reverence God the way that we're supposed to. But we have this dominion. And we see and understand that there was a fall. There was a fall in the garden when man sinned against God and disobeyed God. And we have been falling ever since. That's what set this in motion. We see here in verse number 6. It said, "But one sat in a certain place and testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him?" If you'll go back to Psalms chapter number 8 with me, I want to read to you who said that. Psalm chapter number 8. This is a psalm of David, one who experienced a lot of things with the Lord. You really slow down and think about how big the universe is. If you ever really try to look into that, the universe as a whole and galaxy upon galaxy and things that are out there, and you look at how large it is, this is kind of where David is coming from. He says, "O Lord, our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who has set thy glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy and the avenger." You know, one day he's going to steal the mouths of the avenger. It seems like now that there's a lot of that going on that just seems like it'll never stop. Like, who's going to stop that? Who's going to stop those mouths? The Lord is going to stop that one day. Verse 3, it says, "When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars that thou hast ordained." Did anybody see the moon this morning? Did anybody look up before the sun came up and see the moon this morning? It was, I don't know, maybe I guess you'd call it a crescent moon. But it was so amazing that you could see just that fine sliver of the moon. But yet you could also, Brother Bill, see the entire cylinder around it. You could see the outline of it. I thought, how crystal clear, how beautiful that is. Could anybody here do that? Could you do that? Would you propose a plan as to how you would do it? What would it take to do that? How would you put that into place? How would you hold that into place? When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, all those stars, the moon that the Lord has ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Have you ever thought about that? Who am I? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I? I think a lot of times people miss that in this day and time because they have got their self, they placed themselves in the center of their own universe. They exalt themselves. They elevate themselves. They're entitled. People kind of hold themselves to that place. But if you ever really see Jesus, if you ever really encounter him and really start to try to figure him out and think about him, he's way beyond our comprehension. He's way beyond what you and I could understand. When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him? That word mindful, that means attentive or observant. You know the Lord observes you. You ever think about that? That make you nervous maybe a little bit. If somebody's observing you, or you ever feel like somebody's looking at you, and you kind of look around and say, "Is somebody looking at me? I got that feeling." You ever think about the God in heaven observing you, looking at you? Sister Jan, seeing what you're doing today, you ever think about that? I get wrapped up in my own little world sometimes. I don't really think about it that way. But you know, God in heaven, he observes us. He watches us. He cares about us. He wants to know what we're doing. He wants to know how we're doing. But he observes us. And that makes me think, out of all these things that you've created, all the things that I see and I look out at that I think is so amazing, and Lord, you look at me? You got time in your day to look at me, one in however many billion people? We're part of his creation. We're a key part of his creation. He wants fellowship with you. He wants a relationship with you. And not only says that, that who is, who is man, or what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Visit, if you look at that, that means to come to see, but it also means examine. Come to see, when you look that up, that also means, I see in the dictionary that shows like a doctor visit, an examination. What does the Lord see when he examines you? Self-examination is a very important thing that we should do and do on a regular basis, a daily basis. But what does the Lord do? What does the Lord see when he examines you on the inside of your life? It's easy to try to do outside works, but what does he see on the inside? And I see this and I think about God looking at me and being mindful of me and God visiting with me. And the next question I said, ask myself, is how often do I visit with him? We pray a lot, Lord, be with us in the service. Lord, visit with us. Lord, come be with us. But how often do we go to see him? During the day, get busy, get things on our mind. How often do we think about him? How often are we attentive and observant of him and what he's done for us? Or do we just kind of expect it? Do we kind of think it's just going to happen? It's just one of those things. What if we ask the question, who is God that we are mindful of him? What if you ask yourself that question? That's a big question, Brother Nathan, is it not? He's everything. But how often are we mindful of him? How often do we visit with him? We think about our days that we have and we get busy and things on our mind at work or what have you, but how often do we take a break out and say, Lord, I just want to visit with you for a little while and get off to ourselves with him for a little while? You know, and it hit me, I'll just be honest with you, church, maybe he would visit with us more if we visited with him more. Let's just put it that way. And we just see it. Again, I'll read here, finish off in Psalms. We'll go back to Hebrews. It says, "For thou hast made him a little bit lower than the angels and hast crowned him with glory and honor." Talking about man, making us. We are made a little bit lower than the angels, but he's crowned us with glory and honor. God made you and I to rule, mankind to rule this earth, to have dominion over this earth. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet. We are supposed to rule or run this earth with his counsel. Now, is that taking place? Where did that stop? When did that stop? Like I said before, it seems like it's very hard pressed to even try to do the right thing anymore in government because it's all backwards. I mean, you see more of the spirit of Antichrist in these days than you do the spirit of Christ in government. Is that not so? Well, why did that change? Where did that change? God left in us, one, he left in us a choice. You say, well, why would God make this big world and put people like us in charge? Because we're supposed to follow him. It's about him. Remember, it's never about us. It's about us being into subjection to him, being willing to follow him. What would it have been if mankind throughout all history were willing to follow him and not fall back away from him? I think our world would be different. Mankind tries to make everybody happy, tries to just go along with people and compromise and do things and get away and got away from God's word, and we see where it's got us. We see what the world looks like today. But God has made us. It says, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, the beast of the field, the fowl of the air, and of the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the sea. Our Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth." It shows us the placement that God had intended for us in our life. He expected us to have dominion over this earth. But when he left it in our hands, look what happened. Look what happened in the garden. Brother Archie, it didn't take long. It didn't take long after creation that the fail took place. It's not like we ran things good for a while and then messed up. It was pretty quick. It didn't take long at all. Again, back in Hebrews, we see what David had to say, and he was questioning, he was showing, he was talking about the placement of man in creation. Verse number 7, "Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands." He expected mankind to do the works of his hands. You oversee this. This is my word. You follow my word. You follow me. Mankind got away from doing that, started following themselves, started following what they wanted to do. Man was supposed to rule God's creation by God's authority, but they fell by sin. And that's a sad state. We could have been left in that state. A depraved state just left there, but God didn't want to do that. He had a plan. He wanted to see his plan through. See, on verse number 8, it says, "Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, he left nothing that was not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him." Verse number 8, we see how man has missed the mark. That's what sin is when we miss the mark. Some people think they're perfect. I use the illustration of this, trying to explain about what missing the mark is. If you have a bullseye, and you're trying to hit that bullseye, you're trying to be perfect, and you just have that one spot to hit. How many of you always ever hit the bullseye that's ever shot? Anybody? Have you ever missed the mark? That's mankind. Until you're putting in the same spot every single time and not missing, we're not perfect. You see, that's what happened here. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet, for that he put all things in subjection under him. He left nothing that was not put under him. But now we see not yet all things under him. Now pay close attention to verse number 9. This is the key verse I want us to focus on tonight. But now we see Jesus. That's how everything changes. That's how mankind changes. It's a desperate state that we find ourselves in. Not being perfect. We have a choice to make. We have choices to make. Do we follow Christ or do we not? What he's trying to say here is, but now we see Jesus. Do you see him? Have you ever seen him? Do you know who Christ is? It's pointing out who he is. As we see this, again, if we're talking to the Jewish people during the tribulation period, it's calling him by name. But now we see Jesus. We see who he is. Jesus thought enough of us, his creation, that he was willing to become part of this creation to save it. That's a miraculous thing. Now we see Jesus. We observe him. That's the knowledge of his existence. God chose not to leave man in a fallen state. He was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. That was the remedy for sin. That was the only option for sin. Jesus was made flesh. Let's go to John chapter number 1. I'll not be too long tonight, but I want us to see this. I want us to see how much God loves us tonight. How much he thinks of us tonight. That he would be mindful of us. You know, if I make a mess, honestly, if I make a mess in something, the first thing I want to do is clean it up. I'm kind of an all or nothing kind of person, and maybe patience run thin on things sometimes or what have you. I'm the type, Mom will tell you, Brandy will tell you, I'm super easy to live with. I'm kind of an anything goes kind of guy. They're laughing. They should be. I want things just a certain way. I mean, I do. I'm going to be honest with you. If I'm making something, I remember when you're young, when I was young, I tried out different things. What do I want to be when I grow up? And I tried drafting, I tried drawing, tried all these things. I remember one time at my grandmother's house, Grandma Madge was down there at her house, and I was drawing. I said, Grandma, what do you think about this? She said, oh, honey, that's good. And she'd always tell me, she'd encourage me, say, you can be anything you want to be. And I'm like, thank you. And she was very encouraging. And I would draw and I said, Grandma, what do you think about this? And I'd bring it back to her. And Brother Terry, she'd look at me. She finally told me, she said, Jason, she said, I don't know that you'll make an artist. But here's the reason why. Brother Dale, she said, because I don't think you'll ever be satisfied with what you have. It'll never be good enough. I didn't think it was good enough. When I see somebody that can draw, I've got friends that can draw. Brother Jeff Wilson, he can draw. Friends I went to school with, Brandy, she can draw, do things. It amazes me that they can do that. I would start with something, and then I would see it on the piece of paper. I would start writing on it, and I'd write, and then I got to where I knew I couldn't draw, so I took drafting because they had utensils that you could draw straight lines with, and that was a whole lot better for me. I enjoyed drafting. That was fun, but the math was the hard part, so I let that go too. But I enjoyed writing in block letters, and that's something to this day that has stayed with me. I would practice those letters. I'd practice lowercase. I'd practice uppercase. I wanted it to be just like a typewriter would write it. I wanted it to be like that. But this is what I'm getting at. When I would start out, if I made a mess out of something and I would erase it and I could see where the erase marks were, you know what I'd do? I'd wad that piece of paper up and I'd throw it away. I don't want that. That's messed up. That's no good anymore. I don't like that. I don't want to see where my mistake was. I want to get rid of it. I want it on a perfect piece of paper, and I want all the letters and numbers to look perfect. Now you think about God leaving this world in our hands and say, be ye holy, for I am holy. Come ye out from among them, be ye separate. You just do what I tell you to do and follow me. And it didn't take long. Mankind did not do that. And you know what? God didn't scrap all that. He didn't take it and throw it away, Brother Bill. He could have. You imagine God in his perfection, what he could do. He could do anything he wanted to do. He could have created a perfect race of people that did exactly what he wanted them to do. Why didn't he do that? Why did he make us? Why didn't he do that? He had angels for that. He wanted people to worship him in spirit and truth. He wanted people that, Brother Tim, had the choice. And even though they had their own free will to do what they wanted to do, they could step out and do what God wanted them to do. Because they loved him, they preferred him. They loved him that much. No, I want what God wants. And God, when he saw that, and the way worship works, you and I have to be willing to do it freely, not afraid, because he's going to punish us. I don't know how many people talk to me and say, I want to do this, but I'm afraid God's going to punish me. If I don't do this, God's going to punish me. And they have a relationship of fear with God. Should it not be based off of love? The time I fear God is when I'm being fully disobedient. The close times I'm with God is when I'm trying to do everything I can to be close to him and I don't have anything in between us. And God said, you know what? They're not perfect, but I'm not going to scrap them. I'm going to make a way. I'm going to wrap myself in their flesh and come and live among them so they will have a way. I'm going to make a sacrifice so they'll have a way. I know they're not perfect. He knows that. He understands that. He knows that about us. But for us to have a chance to worship him in spirit and truth, we have to have a choice. And God knows with us having a choice, he has to give us grace because we're going to make a lot of wrong choices. I know I have. Brother Dale, I've dropped the ball many times. And I look back and all I can do is just thank God for his grace. His mercy and his grace, somebody that loved me enough to know that I'm not perfect and want to be with me that bad. He said, I'll make a sacrifice for you. So for God to save this creation, he had placed man in a high standing, in a high place, just a little lower than the angels, studied a lot about them, and now we see our placement in creation. We see where we're at. Now in John chapter number 1, verses 11 through 17, I want us to get this. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you really need to see this. If you are listening and you're lost, you really need to see this and just really comprehend it. Now, who did we say that the book of Hebrews was written to? I believe it's written to primarily to the Jewish people. I believe it's going to be an instrument used in the time of tribulation. I believe that. It doesn't mean that we can't use it today. We can. There's a lot to gain from it. John chapter number 1, we'll start with verse number 11. I thought this was very interesting when I found these verses to use tonight. It says, he came into his own, and his own received him not. That ties right back in with what we're talking about with the Jewish people. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. He gave them the power to be saved, the power, the ability to accept him, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. There had never been anybody like Jesus, and there never will be anybody else like him. There's only one. There's only one like him. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this is he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. For the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. He saw this fallen, broken creation. He said, I want to redeem it. I will make a way to redeem it. I will come and I will redeem it. But now we see Jesus, who is made a little bit lower than the angels for the suffering of death. This is why he came to dwell among men. We see this tie in with John 1. For the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. He's the only one. He's the door. We see fallen man, we see fallen creation, and we see the redemption for it. We see the remedy for it. And it's Jesus Christ himself. In verse number 10, it says, for it became him for whom are all things, and by him are all things, in bringing many sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. I want to go one more place tonight, and we'll close out tonight. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. My friend and I read these verses to him today. We were talking about how sometimes it's hard to understand things. I'll admit to you, I don't understand everything in the Bible. I believe it. I trust it. But I don't understand all of it. But we were talking about the end times and just different things, talking about salvation and how it works and how there's only, for those that believe in Christ, there's only one death. Those that are saved, there's only one death, the physical death. We don't take part in the second death. But those that are not saved would take place in the second death. Those that are cast into the lake of fire. But this here, what we see outlined in these verses, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 28, we see the Christian hope. This is my hope tonight. After the crucifixion, it's making reference here, but now is Christ risen from the dead and became the first fruits of them that slept. He's the first one. Christ had the power to lay his life down and the power to take it up again. For since by man came death, talking about what we were talking about by the fall of man there in Genesis, for since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. This is why Jesus had to become flesh and dwell among men. This is why he had to come and die for us. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, afterward they that are Christ at his coming, when he returns. I want to tell you tonight, his return is a real thing. Sometimes people have a hard time believing that. Sometimes people want to argue that. But I'm going to tell you, Christ is coming again. There is a calling away, a called up. We call it a rapture that is going to take place. And we that are saved are going to go with him at his coming. Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. What you're going to have, well, I want us to see this here. When you talk about the return of Christ, it's twofold. There's when he steps out into the clouds and we go to meet him in the air. This is kind of confusing to study if you're trying to get it all together. Think about the second coming again, two phases. When he calls us to go into the air. The rapture, he calls us up. 7-year tribulation period. And after the tribulation period, you're going to see the millennial reign. That's when Christ comes back down and he steps back down on the earth. I believe Revelation says that he has 1 foot on the ocean and 1 foot on the sand. That's when Jesus Christ physically steps back down on this earth and we're with him. And for the millennial reign, that's a 1,000-year reign. And we see that take place. Then cometh the end. Then he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God. Once everything is wrapped up and taken place and Jesus at the end is crowned king at the end of the millennial reign, Jesus gives the kingdom back into God. He gives it to God the Father. Even the Father, when he shall have put all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. Now, I like that. I feel bad for those that choose not to trust Christ, that choose not to follow him, but every enemy will fall. I know in this day and time it doesn't look like it, but it's going to happen. And I'll tell you this, praise God, I get to see it. You believe that tonight? You think about all the wrongs in this earth, all the things that's been set wrong, and you wish that you could set it right, and you can't. Praise God, Jesus is going to one day, and I get to see it. Is it all right to preach on Wednesday night? Is it all right? It's almost Christmas. We got to get it in, right? I want us to see this. Even the Father, when he shall put down all rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is expected which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. After the millennial reign, that's when Jesus gives it all back to God the Father. He says, Father, it's been won. This is it. And that's when eternity begins. As excited as I am about the millennial reign and coming to see Jesus set everything right, I'm excited about eternity. No more time. No more death. No more pain. I get excited about that. Church, that is just as real tonight as it is when it actually is going to happen. If we can slow down and grasp that and think about that, the hardships that we have in this life, the battles that we've lost in this life, the things that we feel like we've failed at in life, if you know Jesus, I promise you, you're a winner. He's already won it, not because we did anything, we didn't. He just asked us to believe in him, to trust him. He's just asking us to believe in his death, and the reason why he came to die for us is that we would have a way out of this fallen race, that we would have a way of salvation. God wasn't done with us. God wasn't done with mankind. He wanted us to have a way to go to glory with him. And he made a way through Jesus Christ. He came to this earth and he dwelt among men. He lived a sinless, perfect life. And he was willing to go to the cross for you and I. Because of our sin. Because of our fault. There had to be peace with God made. And that was Jesus Christ. But as it says here, I want to read this last verse one more time. Let's go back to Hebrews and I'll close with this. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. Jesus himself, the glory that he had in heaven, the glory that he had on the throne, the glory that he had being with his Father, he was willing to place himself in the flesh that we're in, the aches, the pains, the flesh that we're in. Made himself lower than the angels that he created to worship him. He's made himself lower than them because he knew who we are. Crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Jesus loves us. I mean, that's about all you can say about that. That's when you look at what he's done for us, the hardest thing that anybody could do, the most special thing that anybody could do, Jesus did it for us just so we'd have a way of escape. And I say praise his name for it tonight. Amen. That's the message tonight. I will stop there and we'll have a time of prayer.